and my very good friend Brian talk about the adaptations from comic books into streaming shows and movies. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Okay, that's awesome. I am fighting the urge to eat these pretzels that are right in front of me, because that will not make good podcast audio. Not like we have like a high standard for the quality of our recordings.
But... No, I don't think so. I should probably run upstairs and grab some pretzels myself.
Oh, there you go. Double the middle-aged men eating pretzels. That's what people want to hear. So my thing for you is we're going to take a trip down the sacred timeline, because I think that this is the first time a Marvel show has had a second season, right?
It is, which is weird.
I know.
When you think about it, too. I'm so torn with this whole idea of Marvel shows and movies and stuff lately. Like, you know, we've continually talked about how we felt a lot of the shows are a little subpar. And even the movies lately have been a little subpar. And I don't know, but I like the idea of there being TV shows that add to this giant, you know, mess of a continuity.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it just that we don't want them to be better overall, or is it not working? I mean, is it the format limited series versus like a standard kind of TV thing where, you know, you have multiple seasons and all that, and you're like, oh, hey, this was good, let's give you another one.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Is that part of it, or is just that things have just been subpar and that's lately, and that's just kind of got everybody on a downer? I actually feel pretty good about this show so far. I will say that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. By the way, me and Brian are talking about Loki season 2. Like I said, it is the first second season of a Marvel show. Brian, it's interesting, like kind of to semi-answer your question, maybe in a vague way or like a roundabout way. You know, we're sort of covering a whole bunch of different comic book shows right now, right? We're covering Gen V. We're covering Doom Patrol eventually, the final season. It's interesting how different they are, right? Like this show, Gen V, and Doom Patrol. Like Doom Patrol and Gen V, I would say, seem more similar because they're so like crass and vulgar, and there's horrific things that happen on those shows. This seems tame in comparison.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But I think the big difference between this show and those shows like that is that this is part of this giant fucking universe. Right. With 32 movies and 8 shows or whatever the hell is that. And Doom Patrol was originally supposed to be sort of, and it's not. I mean, Gen V is a spinoff of The Boys, so that's two things there. But this is more like comic books are.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, this is like a solo title for Loki, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think we're both enjoying Gen V. We both like Doom Patrol a lot too.
Yes.
Is it just that there's a broader focus with those? Like you're getting kind of like everything in that world there, you know, rather than everywhere with Marvel's doing to kind of spread everything out. This is a very narrow show. This deals with Loki and multiverses, and it connects, but you know, it really just has Loki in it and Thor and some ancillary Thor characters.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you said it was like too spread out. I think I made that metaphor a couple of episodes ago where I was talking about like this stuff feels like it's like butter that's spread too thin on bread. Like all the Marvel Star Wars stuff and the Disney Star Wars stuff and the Marvel Star Wars stuff, it just feels like it's kind of like spread out like too much. You know what I'm saying? You said that this show is very hyper focused on like Loki and the TVA, and I agree, but I feel like go ahead.
I think we're saying the exact same thing, but it's just the context is different. So yeah, like you're saying that Marvel in general is spread out too much, and I'm saying that a symptom of that is that this show is just focusing on very few characters, which to me, we're really saying the same thing in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how about this? Let's compare it to comic books for a second, right? What, when you compare like the Doom Patrol show, the Doom Patrol show seems more like a Vertigo comic from the, when Vertigo still existed, or like the, what's the fucking thing? Like Young Animal, or what's the imprint that you used? Young Animal. Right. Where, you know, it can be rated R and it can have like sex and violence and cursing and stuff. That's what Doom Patrol feels like, a Vertigo book. It feels like the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol book. Then The Boys feels like the comic The Boys, if like maybe just a little bit more sanitary and not as sensational. Now, the Marvel stuff, however, does not feel like a Loki comic that would be in the Marvel universe. Like, it doesn't feel like, how many Loki runs have you?
What about Loki Agent of Asgard?
Okay, well, who wrote that one?
I have no idea. Well, I don't think I've even read it. I think I bought it on Comixology in season one. I never read it.
Oh, good. Okay, so your point you're making with me is a comic you didn't read?
Yes!
Okay, perfect. Okay. It's okay. I've done far worse on my channels. To me, it's like there's comics that are usually like tie-in comics to main events, and they usually just seem kind of just like filler. And they're not as exciting, and they're not as like creative, and they don't push the envelope. And that's kind of just what Marvel feels like in general. Then you have like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which feels like a very personal story, like it has a vision, and that feels more like a comic book would feel.
Yeah, so yeah, I can agree with that. Guardians felt more like a standalone title that just happens to be in the same universe, where this is something that's supposed to be working within a larger universe, but still feels kind of forced in a way. It's like, we have these pieces to play with. What can we do with them?
Right.
Rather than just like, hey, this is the story we want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine we go to Jim Hanley's or Comic Book Jones, if, you know, Comic Book Jones isn't there anymore, but like Jim Hanley's on Staten Island. And it's Wednesday, it's our pull list. And we get this like Loki tie-in to some kind of Kang event. It's written by some comic book writer that's like young and not that established. Then we have like Gerard Way or Grant Morrison writing Doom Patrol, and then we have Garth Ennis writing The Boys. That's what it all feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's a lot of the stuff that they're covering this show is like a you know, part of Thor's distant past. And then we have not read, like, I have not read many books from the 60s or 70s, you know, like the first, I've read characters from those times, but not those books themselves. And I think a lot of this TVA stuff comes from before the time I was reading comics. So I think that's a big thing here, to consider, is that it may feel like it's like a forced tie-in, but, to like a Kang thing event, but the TVA existed, but, you know, Mobius existed before this show and before all this. And, you know, it's just because we don't know it as well.
Yeah.
We may be missing stuff, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. You know, I think that to go along with that, like Renslayer, that woman that's from the first season, we haven't seen her in these first two episodes of Loki. I know that she kind of has like a romance with one version of Kang. In like comics that are either from like the late 70s or early 80s.
That's correct.
You know? So obviously they're sort of like reaching into Marvel's past, you know, even before, you know, you and I started reading the books. But I mean, I just think that like, I like this show. I like these first two episodes, but honestly, I like this show better than maybe like the last three Marvel shows that we saw. Like, what were the last three? It was like Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, and then She-Hulk. Oh, yeah. I absolutely like this better than those last three. What about you?
I think it's too early to say.
Okay.
I mean, I'm enjoying it. That's probably a pretty good estimate, but it is only two. I feel like I need to see more to give it a, you know, proper ranking.
Okay. Well, let's talk about like why it might be good and like, you know, what makes it interesting to us. Like the first episode was directed by Aaron Moorhead and Doug Benson, I think, or I don't know. Benson and Moorhead, those are the two directors, right? They had a movie that Danny and I covered recently called Something in the Dirt. They have made a bunch of movies that like Danny's covered for the Lasser Cast, and They're kind of horror adjacent guys, do a lot of sci-fi stuff. They did Moon Knight. Like, do you remember they were on Moon Knight too?
I did not remember those names. I can only remember the showrunner there. Actually, I can't remember the name, so never mind.
Well, there's only 6 episodes of Loki season 2, and they have covered 4. They're directing 4 out of the 6 episodes. Okay. They didn't direct episodes 2 and 3, but these guys are like really interesting directors. They made this one movie called Spring, which I fucking love, and it's just this really interesting, weird horror romance movie. And I think the show is unique and procedural, yet it is kind of missing like a, I don't know, like a, kind of like an emotional push. You know what I'm saying? And we could cover that too. They brought in a guy named Ouroboros this in this first episode. He's played by Key. What's his name? Can you?
Oh man, no, I'm not taking a swing at this one.
Why?
It's Short Round.
It's Short. Right, it's Short Round. You know, he's also from
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry that I don't want to attempt to butcher that name.
Okay. Yeah, you know, everyone knows he's back. He's sort of, you know, having a new, like a renaissance. He's from Everything All Everywhere All at Once. He's just like fucking like oozing charisma, this guy.
Yes, I agree.
He's like super charming actor.
Yeah, agreed.
Do you think that he was the highlight of the first episode?
Yeah, I will go on board with that, yes.
Yeah. So he's a major part of the first episode, and it's basically the fallout from the first season of Loki. And there's that looming threat of Kang from the first season, and it's like, you know, they're just trying to figure out who he who remains is. And Loki is sort of like glitching throughout time, but it really is like them introducing Obi, and he's like a new member of the cast in that first episode.
Yes.
Did you understand what Obi did to sort of fix Loki and to fix the timeline?
Sort of. it was something about like he was removed from the sacred timeline or something, or they needed to remove him from the sacred timeline, and they needed some device to kind of, so they needed to erase him. They needed to prune him and then suck his soul out so he doesn't get like erased forever. I don't know why exactly that happened. But I remember the whole, I found it interesting. I felt, although you know Loki wasn't going to die, but you know, you felt that kind of tension because he had literally had to kill himself in order to be, you know, have that issue fixed.
Well, so yeah, we knew he wasn't going to die. We knew that Mobius wasn't going to die. They kept referring to the idea that like, if they messed up this plan, then Loki would be just gone forever and Mobius would have all his skin ripped off.
Yeah, because he was out in that weird space area where the timeline is processed or something.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty funny gag. The repetition there was not too much and just enough to make it, you know, continually funny.
Yeah. I know we've mentioned Doctor Who before, but have you watched any Doctor Who?
Just a little bit of the Christopher Eccleston season, and I had a hard time with it. I didn't get more than a few episodes in.
Okay. Yeah, this show reminds me of Doctor Who kind of often, and
yeah,
that was a very Doctor Who kind of sequence where they had to like, you know, turn on this device and the one guy's wearing a space suit. It just reminded me of like a Doctor Who problem because it wasn't like an enemy to face. It was like a kind of scientific answer, or it's like Star Trek too. But you know, essentially whatever they did cut the TVA off from something like the sacred timeline or something, right?
Yeah, I was confused about what was actually going on because essentially the issue is that there are now all these many timelines because Sylvie killed He Who Remains.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's one plot thread where, some of the leadership in the TVA has to go out on their own and just tries to destroy all these extra timelines for fear of there being too many. So yeah. I was confused as to what was happening at various points, but I understood that. I understood the other plot thread more, where they were destroying, they were going back to pruning timelines like they always do.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite, I mean, I guess I understood that whatever machine is processing this or whatever whatever system they have was getting overloaded because of all these, because there was too much information from all these timelines. That's what I kind of, the gist of what I kind of got was, I think that's acceptable enough to not, you know, to follow the show kind of, but I probably could figure it out a little more in depth.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that Obi says some sort of line of like, there's a loom and the loom takes time and processes it into something physical. He says something like that.
Yeah.
In the first episode. Yeah. So one thing that's real interesting about this show is that when they prune a whole reality, essentially they're setting off a bomb that just erases realities. I mean, that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. And we find out that, you know, these people are actually dying.
Yeah,
like they didn't think that previously when they were pruning, but they're actually killing people. So there's some conflict there between, you know, the some of the members of the TVA and then, you know, people like General Docs and is it X5 or X15? Wait, which one's which?
Yeah.
It's X23.
I wish, man. No, the one that works with General Docs, that is X5, and then okay, E15. Okay. B15 is the one that's like with Loki and Mobius.
Got it. B15. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So I have to say that I didn't really care for B15 too much in the first season, but I do like her in this season.
Oh, no. I thought she was great, especially towards the end of it. Because in the beginning, she's just like kind of standard, kind of like, you know, by the
book. Foot soldier.
Foot soldier. Kind of person, but that kind of commanding foot soldier.
Yeah.
But then she kind of, you know, gets her eyes open and she's, you know, I thought she was actually very good in the first season.
Okay. Yeah. I like that actress a lot. I think I mentioned this first time around, but she's like from Lovecraft Country and she's really good. She's a good actress. I just think that maybe this time around she has like better material to work with for her role, her specific role.
Well, no, you're sympathizing with her now because she's a relatable character. She's on the side that you kind of want to, you're kind of rooting for, I guess.
Yeah. She delivers that line that, like, basically what you were just saying before, where it's like, those are all people as they show the timelines getting wiped out. Yeah. Now, were you under the impression that, like, all of the branching timelines got killed off by the second episode?
No. I think a lot of them did, but not all of them. And I imagine they're just going to get replaced again. That's how it would work.
So keep growing. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. It's interesting when it comes to timelines and comic books and stuff because they just wipe out whole realities sometimes, whether it's a DC thing or a Marvel thing, and then they come back. And, you know, it's something that, like, you couldn't really fathom, but they make it seem like, oh, it's easy. Just put a bomb here and just wipe out an entire reality.
Yeah, I mean, both Marvel and DC within the last 10 years have flirted with only having one reality, and they've quickly gone back on them both times.
Right.
It's fun. Honestly, it is.
No, I agree. I mean, so the TVA is like a direct creation of Kang, right?
Yeah. Well, at least according to this TV continuity. I'm not 100% sure it is in the comics.
Right. So the implication would be that Ninja Turtles, that that Kang has like reality-ending weapons.
Yeah.
Right? Because the TVA has them. He created them.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, do you think that they're going to go and still do this Krang? God damn. Wow. It's been a long week already. And it's fucking Tuesday. Do you think...
You want to know what it is? There's a pink blob behind you that it looks like it's Krang. Krang is literally trying to eat you from behind.
Oh, my God. Shredder! That's not how he talks either. I can't do a good Krang. I'm in my daughter's bedroom. I just have everything blurred out. That's the pink blob. Behind me.
I mean, I kind of figured, but I'm gonna keep thinking it's Krang behind you.
Okay. What? Why do I keep doing like this little vibrato?
No, I think that's right. He kind of had that like kind of like fishy, bubbly voice, sort of.
Yes, he did. It did. Oh man, I wish we were talking about Ninja Turtles instead. But I was gonna say, Kang. Do you think they're gonna still do this whole Kang overarching, like crossover? You do. Yeah. Do you think that it's still gonna be? What the fuck Jonathan is his name? Majors. His name's like Jonathan Majors.
Yes, I don't think they're getting rid of him.
Really?
I don't think so. I think they would have did it by now.
Okay. Interesting.
Because the idea is that the backlash was strong enough that they would have publicly said he's out. But because they haven't really said much about it, they're kind of like letting it simmer.
Yeah.
And simmer down. And they're just going to hope, you know, kind of hope people forget, sort of.
Okay. Okay. So then in that first episode, Loki shows the TVA people, like he uses one of their staffs, their pruning staffs, and it like clears away a mural they have on the wall. And then you see like a Kang mural. That's basically like him showing that like Kang was here to begin with, and that they sort of put the TVA over Kang, right?
Yes. So essentially, they're saying that Kang in the past, or actually, you know what? They kept saying the past, but I mean, I guess it is, but I also had it in my head it was another reality, because how could this building be there and look like this? And there, and he, and Loki being in a time period where Mobius was still there.
Yeah.
But nobody remembered any of it. And there's one scene where in this scene here where Loki is going back and forth between the present and supposedly the past, and talking to Obi and telling him to build this machine so that it'll be there in the future when they need it so they can save Loki. That there is implying that these are two different times. But the Kang stuff in the past, there's Kang stuff everywhere. But B-15's there, Mobius is there. The other guy's there. What's the other guy's name?
X5?
Not X5.
Oh.
The assistant guy.
Yeah. The dude that had like the infinity gems, and he's like, oh, they're pink.
Yeah.
That guy.
I know. I keep referring to him as Pillboy because he was Pillboy in The Good Place. I love The Good Place.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he was like one of the character's friends, and he was just like a stonery kind of guy. I don't know. Anyway, so that's why I keep calling him that. But all those people were there. They saw Loki there. And at the same time, Loki sees all this Kang shit all around. But then he reveals it, and nobody knows it was there, which is odd. So it kind of makes me think, like, is this a different time? Is this a different reality? Like what's going on here? Is it both, maybe?
Yes. Really, really good point. I said this in the notes. I almost feel like they wanted to really lean into the multiverse stuff a lot, but now they're like, oh, people don't like the multiverse stuff. Can we rewrite some things? And they made it more about like time travel this time around for this season. Cause like in the first season, do you remember the last time we saw Mobius and B-15? There's a part where Loki shows up, he sees them, he's like, Mobius, we have to do something, right? And Mobius is like, who are you? You know, like he responds like he doesn't know, right?
That was great.
Thank you. But he's like, Mobius and B-15 working together don't know who Loki is. And I remember you and I discussed it on our show, and you were saying like that implies that like this is a different timeline that like Loki has gone into it. But they're making it sound like him jumping around is because he's traveling through time versus like another reality.
Yeah, and I'm questioning whether or not it's both, because I think it's really weird that no one has any recollection of any of this Kang stuff, unless there was some kind of mass memory wipe somewhere or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting too, speaking of like memory wipes, is that there feels like there's this weird gap between episode one and episode two. Did you feel that too, or no?
Yeah, it feels like they jump right into something with hunting down X-5. Bad Wolf, Zaniac. And it did feel like something was missing, and they kind of start to fill in the gap, but I don't think they fully did it enough.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did feel like wait a minute, did I fall asleep at the end of the last one or something? Like what happened here?
Yeah. It was like, was I playing Snap and not paying attention or something when I was watching the last one? Right.
Yeah.
No, it's weird because it's like the TVA people that are like real militant and want to get rid of the extra timelines, they're like, we have to find Sylvie. Sylvie's the key. Then you start this other episode where they're like, wait a minute, X5 is a movie star now. We found him. And it's like, they didn't show the sequence where he essentially defected and he just went onto the sacred timeline. Now, the thing is, I guess it's okay that they didn't show that. It felt weird. It was awkward. But I really liked the sequence where they were chasing him around.
Yes, because we get to see Loki use some Loki powers for a change, which we really have not seen much of.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't seen that since like Thor Ragnarok or maybe even Infinity War.
Maybe. No, yeah. We've seen a little bit in the show, I think, but not like this was the most of it, I would say.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I was saying this in the notes that like he just seems sort of like a secondary character by the end of the first season, and he seems kind of weak compared to like someone like Sylvie or the other characters around him. He's like second fiddle to Mobius. I was kind of thinking like, oh, did he have some sort of dampener or something on him that he couldn't use his powers in the first season?
I think he might have initially, but I think it was removed.
Okay. No. Yeah, because really in the first season, I felt like he just kind of had knives and that was it.
Yeah.
But in this one, he's like full on like making copies of himself and he's making the shadows come alive and pick up X5. And yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, agreed.
So let's see. We haven't talked about Sylvie at all. What did you think about her working at that McDonald's?
First of all, she's working in a McDonald's in Broxton, Oklahoma, which is, in the comics is where Asgard was for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how long that was or how long ago that was, but I thought that was an interesting little Easter egg there. And she's just, I guess that's the sacred timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where Brad was, and that's how they eventually got there. Mm-hmm. And she's just working at McDonald's. I'm kind of curious. There was not too much of this character, but it's just like a little bit too much to make me think about it. Her manager
is Mephisto.
I think it's Mobius. I think this is where Mobius came from.
Oh, that's cool. Right, because it's like in the 80s or whatever. Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. Very good point. Oh, I totally just shit on your good theory by saying my Mephisto joke.
That's okay.
Okay. Well, okay, that's fucking brilliant. Have you read that online or you just thought that yourself?
I read it online.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. I actually hope that is the case now. That'll be great.
No, you know what? I did think about it. In the sense that like this guy's featured enough and they haven't like, you know, it's too much to be an extra, but not enough to be a character. So there had to be something with it. And then I did put two and two together after seeing the headline somewhere. So I unfortunately can't give credit because I don't remember. So I'm sorry, whoever said that I just stole, try to pass off my own. But I do think it's a pretty decent theory, and I think it's one that might be plausible because one of the questions that Brad Wolf presents to Mobius is, you know, don't you want to know where you came from, like you know what you were doing? There's also talk of like a jet ski or some kind, and I remember just in Marvel Snap there was a bundle of cards of a Mobius variant of him on a jet ski, so some very topical is there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, it makes a lot of sense for that to be a young Mobius, and I think that's cool. It also kind of shows why Mobius would trust Loki in the first place, because Sylvie is Loki, right? She's like a variation of Loki.
Okay, that's the other thing too. And this blew my mind, and I don't know if we ever really mentioned this when we covered the first season, but Sylvie, I also learned this from Marvel Snap. Sylvie is the Enchantress. She's an alternate version of the Enchantress. I don't think I realized that. I mean, this was a version that was created with in like the Dark Avengers. What was that? Yes. Siege? She essentially was trying to join the Young Avengers and ended up on like the Dark Young Avengers or something. And I had no idea that was what they were going for until I saw this thing in Marvel Snap that had a Sylvie variant of the Enchantress card.
Yes. Do you think that she might join that Thunderbolts team?
Ooh. Man, I think that would be cool, but I think I feel like this is a different realm, sort of. Like, that's going to be a little more street level
kind of
stuff, or real world stuff, and she's more, obviously, more multiversal related.
Yeah, that's a good point. You were saying before, like, how long did that Broxton thing last? And I know that, like, it ended with Siege. It ended with, like, the Dark Avengers attacking the Asgardians in Broxton.
Okay, I think I remember that, yeah.
That might end up happening in a movie, too, because they have established Broxton in the present day as, like, the place where the Asgardians are.
Yeah, but I don't think they call it Broxton, because it's somewhere, it's not in... it's not in America. I think it is in Europe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think it
okay.
is. So I think it's different.
Oh, you're right. Because, like, what's his face? Odin goes, like, this could be Asgard, right? And he's, like, looking off a cliff somewhere.
So, yeah, something like that. Yeah. It just looks like it's not America.
No, you're right. And it's by water, too, which, you know, Oklahoma or wherever the fuck the other one is, it's, like, landlocked,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on a sec. Speaking of landlocked, I wanted to just mention one thing. I loved the fucking details of the McDonald's. My mom worked at McDonald's. She was a manager when I was like a baby and stuff. And
oh wow.
Yeah. And I just remember, like, do you remember the fucking McDonald's that was on like Highland Boulevard that had the crazy playground and the had like the fucking, like, the Mayor McCheese was like a playscape that you could climb up and you could like look through his teeth and they were like the bars of the playscape.
Yeah, I mean, that McDonald's is still there, I think.
Yeah, but it's not as cool.
It doesn't look like that anymore, no.
No, they all just look like boxes now, you know? Like,
yeah, they almost look like Taco Bell does in Demolition Man.
Yes. But back in the day, like, you could sit on the fucking Fry Guy's heads and stuff, and,
yep,
you know, there's all kinds of crazy shit. They had that tree. They had the tree in this episode, too.
Oh, yeah, yes.
But
yes.
The one thing that was weird was that this McDonald's seemed like it was in the middle of nowhere. Did you? I was like, McDonald's is usually like in the middle of a strip mall, you know, off a highway.
Yes.
Somewhere.
I mean, to me, that's just like, hey,
is it kind of freezing up a little bit?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. To me, it did appear as if it was in the middle of nowhere, but it's probably because they have a small set to work with and, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So Sylvie's there, and then Loki kind of recruits her. They go and they track down these rogue agents that are essentially, like, pruning the timelines. They're able to defeat them, and I guess, like, Mobius and B-15 are now in charge of the TVA.
Seems like it.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen? Because there's still four more episodes left to go. What do you think is, like, the next phase of the show?
That's a great question. I don't know, because this seems like something that would have happened later on, or like a main focus of the show. And the only thing I can think of is that, you know, we've seen that scene at the end of the first season where Loki and Mobius are viewing some version of Kang in the past. So I guess they're going after Kang for some reason. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Wasn't that at the end of Ant-Man Quantumania?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think they're going to go after Kang in this one. Yeah, you're right. Or He Who Remains or whatever. Well, He Who Remains is the one that died, and then essentially all the Kangs came back.
Yeah, I believe this is going to be the Kang from Ant-Man specifically.
Oh, so it's like he's not dead.
Wait, did he die? Didn't they send him some? Wow, shit. I don't remember.
It's like they kind of blew him up in a portal.
Yeah, that the implication I got from seeing that scene at the end of that movie was that was the version that was in the movie. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, interesting. All right, yeah. So I guess that's where we're going. What do you think about the show in general, though? Are you happy it's back? Do you feel like it's sort of a cut above the other MCU shows? Is it the same thing? What do you think?
Yeah, it feels a step in the right direction, I suppose. I mean, a step above, I should say, because like you said, and I think I do agree with it. It is better than the last few shows.
Yeah. Cool. You know, I think we might have mentioned the Marvels at the beginning of this episode. I read somewhere that the Marvels is tracking to debut at like make a smaller box office than The Flash.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think I did hear a similar headline. Yeah, I mean, I think people are burnt out. I think there's some serious fatigue going on, and I think you need some major A-list characters to bring people back, or some really big crazy thing to bring people back. Yeah. Although it's funny to say that, because Captain Marvel is one of the highest grossing individual movies in the MCU.
Yeah.
But public consciousness kind of turned against Brie Larson after like the press tours and all that. And yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited to see it. I think that trailer looks fun. I mean, it's supposed to be a very short movie. So yeah. I'm all for that. And, yeah. You know, I'll be there opening weekend.
Okay. But I mean, like, who is that villain that has the hammer and stuff? Is she like an accuser or something?
I don't know if she's a new accuser. God, what's the character's name? I remember looking it up, because I remember when I first saw the trailer, I'm like, is that just Brie Larson in a different costume?
Yeah.
It's not, but it's a different character played by Zoe Ashton or something like that.
Okay.
And I don't remember the character's name, but it is some Kree leadership character of some kind.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's not... There's something about watching the trailers where I don't get excited. I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to see this. I think the main thing that's appealing to me is I actually really like Monica Rambeau from WandaVision. I do like the character of Ms. Marvel and the actress. And then, you know, I'd like to see them all kind of interact. But all the stuff that's around them, I'm just not interested in at all.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, as I keep glitching out, I got to figure out what the fuck is going on with my computer. I was glitching out yesterday too. But I enjoyed talking about this with you, my man. We still have The Boys to talk about, or Gen V. We also have fucking
Doom Patrol.
Thank you. So make sure you guys have subscribed to Comic Books Transformed. And Brian and I will talk to you guys real soon. Thank you.